Chapter 9, page 573. We're going to read verses 6 and 7 as we turn our attention to the Word of God for a few moments tonight. We are so glad that you're here. Merry Christmas from our church to you. Please know that we are grateful that you've come to praise with us this evening. We pray that the Lord give you a wonderful day tomorrow, not only with family, but as you just think of what our Christ has done for us. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the prophet writes to us, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of his peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would help us now this evening to focus our attention on the Word of God. We pray even now that you would soften our hearts that we might be prepared to not only rejoice tomorrow with family and friends and give thanks for the good things you've given to us, but specifically think of the work of redemption that has been brought to us in Christ. And we ask all of this in the name of our God who has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Spirit. Amen. If anyone should have known the fear of the Lord, it was the Israelites. They had a front row seat to the ways of God as he delivered them from Egypt with all types of plagues, from insects and amphibians and diseases. He turned the Nile River to blood, covered Egypt with darkness, and even took away all of the Egyptians' firstborn sons. The God of Israel led his people out of Egypt by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He parted the Red Sea and let his people pass through unharmed on dry ground. And as Pharaoh's armies pursued, he closed those waters back together and swallowed their enemies. But Israel never learned their lesson. Just a few weeks after this great deliverance, the scripture tells us that these newly freed slaves were preparing to be in God's presence at the foot of Mount Sinai. God instructed Moses to set limits around the mountain so that the people would not go up onto it lest they die. He showed himself to the people descending upon the mountain in fire, covering it in smoke. There was a thick cloud that surrounded the mountain with shots of lightning and peals of thunder and a loud trumpet blast. The people initially trembled. They feared. But their fear did not last. God does not reveal himself to us in the same way anymore. So we tend to imagine as we're reading the scripture that if God would do things like this for us, this evening, today, that we would believe and fear him rightly, unlike those who have gone before us. We might even be prone to think that it was easier for the Israelites to fear the Lord because they saw so much of his power and of his might, and they witnessed so many mighty works, and they saw the consequence for disobedience, death. But as we read through the Old Testament, we see that the people of Israel continually forget their deliverer, and suffer from chronic unbelief. They believed a lie that God had abandoned them, so they erected a golden calf in his place. They constantly complained, believing that bondage in Egypt was better than freedom in the desert with the people of God. They didn't believe God when he promised that he would give them the promised land, so they refused to even fight for Canaan. They didn't believe that God would protect them, so they demanded a king just like the nations. They didn't believe God when he said that he would honor faithfulness in their lives, so they sacrificed to Baal and they worshiped in shrines. We see a few times throughout the Old Testament that there were a few people who feared, who believed in the scripture, but we see that most of Israel, many of the people, did not, even though they had seen so many wonderful and mighty things. What were the Israelites missing? What was it that they did not believe about God? Well, once again, C.S. Lewis helps us. In his famous children's novel, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, when Mr. Beaver tells Susan that Aslan, the ruler of Narnia, is a great lion, Susan is surprised. She thought Aslan was supposed to be a man, and she tells Mr. Beaver, "I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion." And then she asks Mr. Beaver if Aslan is safe, to which Mr. Beaver replies this, "Safe?" said Mr. Beaver. "Don't you hear what Miss Beaver is saying to you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. The Israelites were intimately acquainted with the concept of God not being safe, but they did not believe that he was good. The root of their unbelief, and perhaps our unbelief this evening, is a lack of trust in God's goodness. Friends, do you trust God's goodness? In all of the stories that we've mentioned this evening, Israel believed that their way was better than God's way, that their own sense of goodness and justice and righteousness was better than God's goodness and justice and righteousness. Perhaps that describes you this evening. You think that you know better than God how to run the world, that your concept of goodness, of righteousness, of justice, of mercy is better than his concept. The other nations surrounding Israel had crafted gods, those who they knew were not safe. They feared punishment from their gods, so they adhered to these strict rules of sacrifice and tradition. They feared punishment, but the God of Israel, the one true and living God, was not looking for this type of fear, but a fear that was birthed out of his character. And the prophet Isaiah, as we've read, has told us what his character is like. Listen again. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. God is big and scary and powerful, but unlike the other gods of the nations, God is also lowly and humble. And compassionate, and loving, and forbearing, and peaceful, and righteous, and just, and merciful, and personal. The Israelites were meant to fear their God differently than the other nations, and to do that, they had to believe that he was good. If the Israelites believed in his goodness, they would have turned away from their sins, and they would have turned towards God. They would have lived out the teaching of the proverb, by steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. But much of the time, the Israelites were not turning away from evil, they were running toward death. And these people are a picture of all of us here this evening. We must see ourselves in them and learn from their failure to rightly fear God. But this should not keep us from coming to God. God no longer sets limits around a mountain and pushes his people away, but has made a direct path to him, and he is accessible for all peoples through repentance and faith and belief in Jesus Christ as Savior. This is the good news of great joy that we celebrate here this evening, that the time is fulfilled. Everything that we have looked for and longed for and hoped for has come to its fulfillment. The kingdom of God has come near in the person of Jesus Christ, and we can all enter in by repentance and faith, and trust in this Christ. God calls us to approach his throne of grace with confidence so that we can find mercy and grace in time of need. Friends, you can do that this evening by coming to Christ and trusting in Christ and hoping in Christ and pleading faith in this Christ, asking God to make his life your life in his death, your death, in his resurrection, your resurrection, turning away from your sins and asking God to forgive you and make you new by repentance and faith. Friends, no other God gives this invitation. He wanted the Israelites to come near to him, or else he would not have delivered them. He would not have descended on Mount Sinai. He wouldn't have inhabited the tabernacle. He wouldn't have dwelt within the temple. He wouldn't have sent the prophets to them. The only difference between them and us is that we have a better prophet, greater than Moses, a better high priest, greater than they have ever known, the true King of Israel, Jesus, the Christ of God. God always wanted his people to come to him, which is why he sent his son. So Paul tells us, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons by repentance from sin and faith in Christ. Because the only person who could properly fear the Lord in this world was Jesus Christ. He was, Isaiah tells us, the shoot from the stump of Jesse, who delighted in the fear of the Lord, and because of him, God's invitation to draw near extends to all nations. It extends to you this evening. We can draw near with confidence based on what he has done for us and for our salvation. The fear of the Lord is not about keeping our distance from God. Christmas teaches us that it is about drawing near to God. Because we fear him, we draw close with confidence, pleading the mercies of Christ for us. And as we draw close to him through Christ again and again, it means that we choose to turn away from sin and turn toward life, abundant life. The fear of the Lord is not about a bunch of rules that beat down your life and weigh you down so that there's just no fun. The fear of the Lord is about rightly discerning God by faith and repentance in Christ and realizing that in that, there is abundant life. There is great hope. There is good news of great joy for all who would plead his mercy. True fear of the Lord is about drawing near because God is gracious and merciful and personal. He isn't safe, but he is good. He's the king, I tell you. So the prophet spoke truly. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of his peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. Let's pray. God, we pray that tonight we would draw near.